We learned today that the U.S. Supreme Court will review President Obama's executive actions on immigration, granting millions of undocumented immigrants legal status and work permits, a policy that has in part reduced the number of deportations to 235,000 from a record high of more than 409,000 in 2012. The legal challenge comes from Texas and 25 other states who oppose the Deferred Action for Parents of Americans program, which the president hoped would bring children of immigrants out of the shadows to get right with the law. Joining me now, Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick and Jeffrey Rosen, professor of law at George Washington University and president of the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. Welcome, gentlemen.
Great to be here.
Hi, John.
So, Todd, we'll talk about the politics of immigration here for a moment, but let me just ask Jeffrey Rosen, is this the opening of states' rights season at the U.S. Supreme Court in the sense that this may be the first of many issues that the court looks at about presidential power?
There are a series of issues ranging from questions like abortion, immigration, and citizenship and so forth. But what's so interesting about this case, it started as a kind of technical question about whether President Obama had violated the Administrative Procedure Act, which seems very technical. But the court added a really important question about whether he'd violated the constitutional requirement that the president take care that the laws are faithfully executed. And that suggests a real willingness to engage with the president on all of his executive orders and may well have broader implications.
So they're viewing, the challengers here are viewing the Deferred Action for Parents of Americans program as essentially a flaunting of intent of Congress.
That's exactly right. So very briefly, the Take Care Clause requires the president to enforce the law. Generally, the courts give the president a huge amount of discretion when he refuses to bring an enforcement action and generally defers to his discretion on this matter. But the states are arguing that he's failed to enforce immigration laws that Congress has already enacted and acting in the face of congressional opposition. There was an interesting memo that the Obama Justice Department wrote which concluded that the deferred deportation of the kids would be fine, but for the parents would not be because Congress had explicitly spoke to that issue. And the central question here is whether in deferring deportation of the kids, the president deserves deference or not.
Wait a minute, though. Hasn't the court already decided this? The Obama administration refused to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act, and the courts seemed to suggest that was okay.
A great analogy there. The court said that was okay because it wasn't an administrative agency acting. Uh-huh. It was a Justice Department. So this is sort of technical questions of administrative law about whether the agency is acting under the authority that Congress has delegated. That's the difference between those two cases.
Jeffrey Rosen describing the substantial gray area that we're in here as we look at some technical legal questions that the Supreme Court will consider when it takes up this case and decides it before the term ends in June, which will be right in the middle of the presidential campaign. Todd Zwillick, even though there are a lot of legal issues here, in many ways, this is a mechanism of the Republican-dominated state government domain bringing a challenge that keeps immigration in the presidential campaign, right?
Oh, well, sure. But immigration hadn't really gone anywhere. And all of this is going to happen not only just before both the Republican and Democratic national conventions in July, as you mentioned, but also against a backdrop of nearly 10 years of dysfunction and debate in Congress over immigration. 2007, Congress tried for comprehensive immigration reform and failed. Of course, in 2013, we know that the Senate passed a bill, ultimately didn't go anywhere in the House, and that's led to some difficult and fractious politics between senators like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, and of course, the front runner. And we have to talk about the front runner in the Republican race because this is also happening against a backdrop where the Republican front runner hasn't really discussed the merits of DAPA or DACA or the parents of children here legally. This is a candidate who wants to deport all 11 million undocumented immigrants, build a wall along the border between the United States and Mexico, and while he's at it, keep out Muslims, even some of them who are Americans. And so, John, I also think, however, that the politics of this falls in two categories. One we just mentioned, deportation and immigration, a wide gulf between Republicans and Democrats there, but also something important that you hear a lot less about. Base Republican anger at President Obama on the executive power grab part that Professor Rosen was just talking about. This is a very important part of it as well. Maybe less energetic, but also important in Republican politics. Executive actions by the president on the EPA, the water supply, which we just talked about, guns, in some cases, health care and regulations around Obamacare, a lot of anger building in Congress and amongst the Republican base over years over what they see as illegal or overreaching actions by the president. And if the Supreme Court knocks that back in this case, they'll consider it a major victory against a power grab by a president who they consider imperial. The immigration question, however, will remain. This is a party, John, the Republican Party, Mitt Romney candidacy in 2012 lost Latinos by 38 points. 38. And these are two policies, DAPA and DACA, that remain incredibly popular with Latino voters, most of whom are Democrats.
I'm just surprised that the Republicans would go after this imperial presidency issue after Bush and Cheney, who were pretty imperial, especially when they understand, as you just said, the sort of consequence could be this utter alienation of Latino voters, which everyone says, every strategist says, is critical for the Republicans to win the White House.
Well, look, the some of the rational or logical inconsistencies that you can point out in national politics now is really a symptom of the fact that base Republican politics on the state level and the local level is really separate from the consensus building that has to take place in Washington and in national elections. It's why many analysts consider the Republican chances for the White House so very difficult, at least if that path is narrow,
right,
for that very reason you just described, John.
Todd, let me just ask Jeffrey Rosen before we go. Half a minute, Jeffrey. Is this another one of these what Kennedy thinks decisions?
Not necessarily. Kennedy has been ruled for the administration in an important case involving the Environmental Protection Agency, where he took a broad vision of executive power. It's one of those things that could have an unexpected breakdown. But Todd is absolutely right. The question of the future of executive orders is very much at stake.
Jeffrey Rosen, professor of law at George Washington University, president of the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia, and Todd Zwillick, takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, guys.
You got it, John.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.